Well, we want to turn over to the first chapter of 1 Peter. We desire your prayers tonight.
Amen.
The Lord would bless his word. We'll start with the third verse. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who are kept to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That reads from the third verse through the 13th verse of the first chapter of Peter. I want us to notice in this third verse, says, "Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There is our hope, is the resurrection of Christ. He was, one scripture says over in 2 Corinthians, we might read that, I believe it's 13:4, says, "Though he was crucified in weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God." Everything that Jesus died for, he's a living to execute and to impart that to us. There's nothing that Jesus died for, that he gave his life for, but what he's willing to share with us. And he's able to do that. He's at the right hand of God. He loves us. It was Paul got such a glimpse of that he said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus was able, through the Holy Spirit and through Paul's obedience to him, he was able to get across to Paul his love. He was in a high position. He was at the right hand of God. He was imparting, and he was shining the light of heaven right down into Paul's bosom. And Paul was conscious of the fact that Jesus loved him and gave his life for him. That helped him to keep going on, helped him to keep encouraged. Well, the Lord knows how to encourage you and I. He knows how to keep us going on. I'm thankful that he does do that. I want us to turn now over to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. We'll begin with the 10th verse. It says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now here in this 12th verse, it says the word of God is quick and powerful. Over in 1 Peter, where we was reading, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God." The word of God, us receiving it in our souls, it becomes powerful. It becomes able to give us victory over our weaknesses, over the things that the enemy would try to hinder us with. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, you and I need just such a Savior as that. We need one that can look right into our very hearts. You know, sometimes people that trust in the physicians of earth, they go there and they describe their case to the physician, and the physician listens, and then he'll prescribe a certain prescription and so on. But a lot of times they miss it. They give maybe the wrong medicine. They give the wrong thing, or mistaken what was happening. But here is one said, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Lord sees right down into our very soul. He knows just exactly what would it take to encourage you. He knows what it would take to warn you. He knows what it would take to point out to you the things that would hinder your progress in the spiritual life. The Lord knows that, and He loves us, and it's through His love that He points out those things. A lot of times we have things we didn't realize that we had in our heart. But when the Word of God goes forth and the Holy Spirit is anointing it, and the Lord sees right in our heart just what is there, He's able to prick our hearts. He's able to help us. Then it says, it's quick and powerful, the live Word of God. You know, the Word of God, it said that in Revelation, it said He saw the white horse and he that riding on it, and said whose eyes was as a flame of fire, and a sword in his hand, and so on. And it says, and his name it was called the Word of God. Well, that represented Jesus. And Jesus, He's the Word. He's the living Word. And He's the eternal Word. And it says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus come right down into this world to dress you and I up for heaven, if we'll allow Him to. That was His purpose. There's not a soul under the sound of our voice, or not a soul in the world, but if they would yield to this mighty power, this mighty quickening Word of God, this powerful living Word, to this two-edged sword, the one that is able to point out our weakness, our needs, if we would just open up to God, just say, "Lord, just search me and see if there is anything in me. think there's anything that would hinder my progress in the spiritual life, or anything that would hinder my progress from going to heaven. And, well, you know, God can look right down in there and He knows it. But I want to encourage you, dear ones, a lot of doctors, a lot of physicians, I'm sorry to say, but there's no doubt some of them it's more in there for the money than anything else. I'm persuaded of that, of what they charge anymore. It costs so much to go to a hospital and to be operated on. I haven't experienced that, but I know I've heard of some that have. And I know it's almost out of the reach of the patient to pay those big bills. But here is one, dear ones, that looks into our souls and knows just what we need. And when He operates on us, He does it with His love. I'm talking about a spiritual operation. And when He does it, He does it with His love. He wants us to live in heaven with Him. And He wants to see His image in us. And He wants to give us something that we couldn't get nowhere else. And some people will say, well, I've sure got a good doctor. I'd invite you to come to my doctor. Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that made us, He's the greatest physician there is. And then a lot of people, they have these Medicare and so on, trying to help the poor people and so forth. But the Lord's He's a physician that holds out the thing to the whole world. He invites all to come to Him. Let Him be your physician. Let Him heal your broken heart. And let Him add to the things your soul needs. God is able to do that. He's abundantly able. One scripture says that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If we'll just allow His power, just allow Him to come down and work in us, well, it'll do more for us than we could ever think of doing ourselves. I'm glad for this great privilege to come to this great physician, the one that invites me to come, one that tells me that I can lay all of my burdens down at His feet, and I can cast all of my cares upon Him, for He said He careth for me. There may be a lot of physicians of earth that don't care for me, but I know one that does. I know one, a great physician, that cares for me. I can lay all of my burdens down right at His feet, and He cares for me. Now I want us to notice this. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have our thoughts brought in subjection to the Spirit of God, isn't it? One place says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, there's only one power that can do that for us, and that's the power of God. And that's when we yield to Him. Now let's notice this 13th verse. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know, every one of us have to do with the Lord. We didn't have anything to do concerning our coming into the world. But since we've come into the world, God has promised that He would light every soul that cometh into the world. So you and I have to do with this great physician. We can either say, Lord, fix me up, work over me, work on me, do for me what I need. Or we can ignore Him. We can let it slip. We can go on our way and miss heaven. But if Christ had His way, He would want every one of us to open our hearts and allow Him to talk to us. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know, the Lord searches the heart. One place it says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. And when He searches the heart, a lot of times He finds things there that would be foreign to His will, foreign to His spirit. But it's up to you and I as to how that those things is corrected. If we will allow Him to, sometimes He will show us. He will show us things that was back down, crept away, hid away in our heart that we didn't know was there. I've had the Lord to do that, and I was surprised. But I find out that when the Lord shows me those things, if I will begin to get in earnest and pray and seek the Lord and yield to Him, well, He will help me. He will help me on those lines that I come short of. The Lord will never point out nothing to you but what He will help you if you will be obedient to Him. That's all He requires is obedience. Then the Lord will do the rest. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know, we need to take that real serious. The most serious thing that we've ever had in life is when we are deciding how we're going to treat God's dealings with us. It says, in whom we have to do. Sometimes people, they have opportunities of getting promotions on jobs and getting blessings and so on, but what a lot of times that opportunity is just one time in life. If they pass that up, well then it's gone. Well, Christ has made it possible that you and I, like Brother Emmett was testifying, he as we yield to Him and we have to do with Him, He can help us to find that completeness in Him. He can help us to find what we need.
Yes, Lord.
Seeing then that we have such a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, isn't it wonderful that we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God? This high priest lives forever. This high priest is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. This next verse says, for we have not a high priest. There couldn't be a greater high priest than Jesus. There couldn't be a greater one. He was God, and He offered Himself and stood between us and God as a mediator. And He offered Himself to be our high priest, to help us out. I like that song that we sang. I believe it's 160 in our songbook. It says, Lord Jesus, my sweet rose of Sharon, my prophet, my priest, and my king. Now, Jesus is all of that. He's our prophet. A prophet is someone that can speak to you and edify you and show you your needs and so on. And a priest is someone that stands between you and your failures, between you and God, to offer assistance to you. And a king is someone that has power. So Jesus is all of that. He's our prophet. He can teach you just what you need to know. And He can help you to live like He teaches you. And then He has the power to back all of this up. He has the power. It says, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know how you have felt as individuals, but I felt that I had an extraordinary perplexity of case to bring to the Lord. I felt like that my case was unusual, seeing my failures and my weakness. But when the Lord spoke to me and through a song says, He was crucified for me. Just crucified for me. Now He says He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So He understands your weakness. He knows what you are struggling over, what you are trying to get victory over. He knows that. And dear ones, He has a victory for you. If you'll just hold fast your profession, if you'll just maybe humble down like we've heard in this meeting a little more. Maybe if you'll just offer a little deeper consecration, put it on the altar, God is able to send the fire and to consume that sacrifice and to give you grace over what you are stalling over. Paul met with that same thing. He met with something that he desired to get help over, and he didn't feel like he was capable of facing. And so he prayed, I believe he said 3 times, if that might be taken away. But the Lord appeared to him and says, My grace is sufficient for thee. So then, dear ones, I'm sure that the grace of God is sufficient for every one of us. For every need that we have, the grace of God. And if the enemy tries to think your case is, makes it so hard and make you think that you're underprivileged and can't make it, well, you just resist the devil. You just resist the devil and tell the Lord, and tell the devil, well, the Lord died for me, and He's got grace for me too. And the Lord will be there to help us. Then He says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know the things that's written in the Bible. It says the things that is written was written aforetime for our learning, that we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Well, we have the Scriptures laid out before us where people were in great need in the Old Testament and in the New Testament times. And we have places where they were in great need, but we don't have a recording anywhere but what God was able to supply that need. When they came to the Lord and offered up their prayers and their sacrifices spiritually, well then God was able to meet that need. And that stands, helps me to come boldly to the throne of grace. And when I see how the Lord has helped others, well I think, well the Lord can help me too. He didn't turn others away. You know that song says, Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And while thou art on others calling, hear my humble cry. Well, you know the Lord will just do that. If we will cry to the Lord and cry to Him, get our faith toward Him. Lord, You're my hope. You're the only hope I've got. If You don't help me, Lord, I'm helpless. And the Lord will never turn a one away like that. I'm glad for that. So that makes it on a level where we can all reach it. None of us have. You may have one problem, I may have another one, but there's none of them too great for God. It says, Let us come boldly, therefore, unto the throne of grace. I think about a throne that represents power. And the throne of God, Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, and there He calls it a throne of grace. And all the power that God has, He's willing to share that with His church when the church is in need of something. There's not a need that you and I can have But what the throne of God, what we can come boldly to the throne of God, and Christ will help us out. I'm glad for the hope that we have in Christ. And I think of another verse over in Revelations, I believe it is in the first chapter. We want to notice here. In the 16th verse, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Did you know that's what the Lord wants to say to every one of us? He wants to lay His hand upon us, and He wants us to fear not if we've put our hope in Him. We're looking to Him. Then it says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And how the keys of hell and death. And I'm glad that we're serving a living Christ. And I thought about the Apostle Paul and his labors for the Lord, and when he was brought up before the rulers, and some of them was discussing about Paul, and they says there's quite a dissension among Paul and the Pharisees and the religious Jews and so on, and says the one that they claim is dead, whom Paul declares to be alive. Well, Paul was experiencing Christ's help along the way. So he knew he was alive, and you and I can know it too when he comes to us. I'm thankful for that. I want to turn to another scripture over in Isaiah, in the 41st chapter. This is the Lord speaking to you and I tonight. 41:10, this says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now when John, for one, saw the Lord in His majesty and glory, said that he just fell down as one dead. Daniel had the same experience. I believe it's in the 10th chapter of Daniel where the Lord appeared to him and said he felt he was just no life in him. His strength went out. But the Lord appeared to him again and laid His hand upon him, began to speak to him, and it said He strengthened him. Well, you know that's what the Lord wants to do to you and I. He says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, the Lord teaches us there in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He says if we will separate ourselves from everything that displeases God, and we will just put God before us and Him alone, and says He will be our God and we shall be His people. Well, here it says, Thus saith the Almighty. The Almighty One is there to care for His children. Here it says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I'd rather have the Lord with us than the whole world, wouldn't you? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. You know, just as long as we plead the Word of God, as long as we plead His promises, embrace His promises, God is with us. That's what He wants. He wants us to believe His Word. It says, For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, sometimes you and I have thoughts in our lives. difficult things that we have to overcome, maybe after we're saved, maybe even after we're sanctified. But here it says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We can bring every one of those things before the Lord and pile them down before Him, and He can uphold us. He can impart His righteousness to us. There's not a thing but what He will help us out. But you know, sometimes we have to get in a real... I thought about what I've heard Brother Eddie say, and I've heard different ones repeat what he said. He says, I'm desperate for heaven. Well, you know, you and I, sometimes we need to be desperate for salvation. We need to be desperate for the grace of God working in our souls. And that's the way to get to heaven, is to get real desperate. Brother C.E. Orr said one time, speaking to people that was had a habit of smoking tobacco, he says if they would, and of course include the Lord in it, but if they would say, well, I'm going to quit this habit if it kills me. Well, see, they were getting desperate, wasn't it? Well, if we'll make that kind of decision before the Lord won't kill us, and He won't let it kill us, but He'll help us out. I'm going to testify a little bit here on this line, just to bring out the part about the desperate. About everyone that I shake hands with, I say, you sure have lost a lot of weight. And I thought, well, I guess I know I'm getting older, and I guess I have lost a little weight. And someone else say, well, you sure have lost a lot of weight. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to visit the dining hall a little more often. So I've been trying to do that. But you know, the Lord laid a burden on my heart today, so heavy that I lost my desire for the dining hall. I said, Lord, I've got to have help. I've got to have Your grace. I've got to have a visitation from You, regardless of the other. I can eat after I get the help that I need. So I thought of the scripture there in Hosea. We might read that. This is how we get help. Over in Hosea, the 10th chapter. In the 12th verse says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. I felt like after Brother Abbott's message of FAR, I felt like, well, he was challenging all of us to have some FAR in our souls and in our prayers. And I felt like that, Lord, I've got to have some help. I've got to have a visitation from You. And it says here, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Now, you know the only way we can sow to ourselves in righteousness is to plead for the help of the Lord, and He come down and share some of His righteousness with us. It says, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground, to me, that's hard ground. That's, you take hard ground, when it comes to rain, the water will just run off of it. But you break that ground up real good, and then it come a rain, and it'll soak right in. So the Lord, He says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness down upon you. Now, I don't know how you feel about your heart, where you feel that you have some fallow ground or not, but if you have, if you'll break it up in seeking the Lord and humbling down before the Lord, well, He'll rain righteousness down upon you. He will rain something and give you the desires of your heart. I thank the Lord. Now, I want to say again, the Lord has given me a spiritual vision of the things that He's got hid in His Word. And I treasure them above all things else. David says, I esteem them more than gold. But you know, the devil comes along and he will try to blur our hope. But that's the time to seek the Lord. That's the time to seek the Lord. Lord, don't let my hope become blurred. Don't let the devil cheat me out of what you've promised in your word. Help me to get them. And if it takes a little breaking up of the fallow ground, if it takes a little seeking of the Lord and waiting on the Lord, denying ourselves, and well, it's worth it, dear ones, when Christ, when He floods us with His righteousness, then He gives us the hope of eternal life. When Christ comes down, you know, the natural ground, when it's broken up, and prepared for the seed, and then we get a good warm shower on it, well, then things begin to thrive and grow and so on. Well, the Lord, He wants our ground broke up, so He can place His seed there. He can place something there that He will be pleased to water, that He will be pleased with what the fruit that is growing there. And then if the Lord is pleased, well, you can be sure it will be for our good. I thank the Lord for His grace and His salvation. You pray for me.